They say a good book can transport you to another place. And as the days get darker and colder, with fall already here and winter fast approaching, the temptation to curl up next to the fire and let yourself be whisked away to another realm only grows. So, as the seasons change, what are librarians and bookstore owners saying are the best new reads here in Alaska? And what's the larger role that these gathering places have in our community? We discuss reading recommendations for the colder seasons today on Talk of Alaska. It's Talk of Alaska. I'm Madeline Rose, in for Lori Townsend. There's something special about the places we get our books. Whether it's a store or a library, there's a shared sense of community that comes from a mutual enjoyment of reading, sharing knowledge, and storytelling. Today, I'm joined by some fellow book lovers to discuss how they make these gathering places welcoming, and to hear what they say are the best reads right now. As we'll hear today, there are a ton of different options, not just for where you get your books, but also on how to experience them. So I'm happy to be joined today by Taylor Jordan. For a little over 6 years now, Taylor has been the owner of Black Birch Books in Wasilla, and in addition to being a popular bookstore in the community, Black Birch is also the only bookbinder in the state. We'll dig into what that work looks like in just a little bit. I'm also joined in studio by Andy Haley. Andy is the Adult Services Supervisor at the Lusac Library in Anchorage for the Anchorage Public Library. They spend a lot of time at the desk helping answer questions and find books, as well as library programming and book selection behind the scenes. There's a lot more that librarians do behind the scenes, and we'll learn about some of that today as well. Also joining me over the phones is Mary Ann Cockle. Mary Ann is the owner of Fireside Books in Palmer, another place that frequently hosts authors and other events for their community. My understanding is there's a bit of a friendly rivalry between Fireside and Blackbirch. We'll get a little bit into that. Mary Ann, thank you so much for joining us over the phone today.
Thank you. I'm glad I could make it.
All right, perfect. And I'd also be remiss if I didn't mention that not only is September Library Card Sign-Up Month, but this week is also Banned Book Week, so it is a very important time to be a book lover. All right, perfect. I said hello to Mary Ann. Andy and Taylor, thank you both for being here today as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, Taylor, I want to start with you. It's great to have you in studio, which I know is a big ask. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what compelled you to start a bookstore.
So I'm retired military. I was in the Air Force, and I did a lot of overseas tours, some combat deployments, and so on. And I retired after some physical injuries at about 15 years, and I wanted to open a safe space where everybody could feel welcome and accepted and continue that active service into my older, progressing adult years.
Yeah, and what really motivated you to sort of make this bookstore into a safe space?
It kind of created itself. It became its own kind of animal. Everyone would come in and request things, and then I would meet those needs, and that's kind of how it's progressed over the last 6 years of people verbalizing a need they have and me going as far as I can out of my way to make sure that all of their needs are met for such our vast, diverse community that we have.
All right. And, you know, sort of filling those needs, it seems like you've really started to host a really broad range of events there. So talk to me a little bit about the role you see your store playing in the community, and it helped give me a sense for, like, what, you know, besides selling books, you do there.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, it's a very well-known safe space, and it's a wonderful meeting place for everybody. And there's no expectation. When you walk in the door, we just want you to feel like you're at home and use the space for what you need. So I have board games. You can sit there and play. I have a full-service cafe. All of the hot drinks are always free. There's open mic nights, there's four seating tables, there's yarning meetups, I have different kinds of book clubs, I have some nerd nights where people come and, you know, play card games and whatever. There's even little potlucks and chili cook-offs, and I just kind of try to make it as good of a community space as I can, and then once in a while I'll sell a book, it stays open another month, and here we are 6 years later.
All right. You also, I felt like you had some really interesting hiring practices. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I exclusively hire homeless and at-risk youth from the My House Homeless Youth Support Program and Drop-In Center out in Wasilla. And then the 9-Star Employment Services is the ones who coordinate that program for job training for youth age 16 to 24.
All right. Well, thank you for getting us started, Taylor. Mary Ann, I want to turn to our other bookstore owner. Talk to me a little bit about Fireside Books. How long have you been the owner, and what motivated you to take on owning a bookstore?
Well, the bookstore has been there since 2001 in downtown Palmer, and I had been an employee there for a number of years. I think I did two stints, left briefly and then came back because it was such a great place to work. And then in 2018, the owners wanted to retire. David, in particular, wanted to bicycle some long trails around the U.S. and was ready to move on. So I decided to take it over.
All right. And what sort of events do you host at Fireside?
We have book clubs generally, and author signings. We're not as robust in space as Taylor is at her Black Birch. She's got a great space for all the activities that she does. But we tend to keep it pretty booky related and no food. Food and books sometimes don't mix, and we're just cramped in the store. But, yeah, local authors, visiting authors, local book clubs, those are the types of things that we do.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you so much, Mary Ann. Andy, I'm going to turn to you in just a second, but one last question. Taylor, let's talk a little bit about that friendly rivalry. So the Matsu Frontiersman releases their Best of the Valley every year. Tell me about this year's results.
Well, for the first time in the 6 years I've been open, I finally had a brutal arm wrestling competition with Mary Ann over at Fireside, and I won. Skin of my teeth. It's crazy. I'm very much a community space, and Mary Ann runs like a proper bookstore, like exactly what you would expect from a small town bookstore. The books are higher quality. They're more popular reads. She gets in a lot more new books and requests and so on. And then any book that comes into me, I make sure that if I have room on the shelf, I put it on the shelf. So I'm more about the, ooh, shiny, here's a book, let's throw it on the shelf. And she has things like quality standards and expectations of sale capability. And I just live with reckless abandon. And so we are very, very different spaces. And we both do an incredible job of meeting the needs of the community. So if I don't have a book, then I call over there. If they don't have a book, then they call over to me. So more often than not, I'll have someone call and ask for a book. Maybe I don't have it. And I'll say, oh, have you tried Fireside? And they were like, oh, they just told me to call you. Perfect. And then we kind of fill it in from there. So we have incredible teamwork. So it's just kind of a fun little game of the best in the valley, where either way it's going to end in Mary Ann and I going out to a nice dinner at a local restaurant and, just kind of toasting ourselves at our book prowess.
All right. Well, how cool that Matsu residents have access to both wonderful spaces. Andy, thank you for your patience. I want to talk with you a little bit. So you're the adult services supervisor at the Lusac Library. What does that mean?
So I supervise the non-library staff of adult services. There's five staff members that I supervise. And then I'm one of the five reference librarians that do reference work at the desk, helping people with questions or reader's advisory and doing programming and then also selecting for different parts of the library collection.
All right. And we talked a little bit earlier. What sections of the library are you selecting for right now?
Right now, I'm doing the adult nonfiction 400s and 500s, which is language and science.
All right. And so as we discussed earlier, there's actually a glut of science fiction fantasy fans in the room, all three of us. And so, when you're selecting for sort of outside of those genres, what really goes into that process?
Reading a lot about what is coming out is important for new materials. Also, checking what the circulation is of the titles that we do have. Replacements are important as well. So things that need to be replaced because they've been checked out a number of times or need to be weeded because they've never been checked out to allow more space for new materials. And just sort of keeping it very broad while having a lot of different variations on each topic.
All right. Thank you. So when we talked previously, you told me a little bit about your path that led you to become a librarian. And it's not the story someone might expect where you were an avid reader from a very young age. Talk to me a little bit about that path.
Yeah, I'm sort of the small percentage of librarians who didn't grow up reading voraciously. And so I didn't read at all until I was in my late teens. And I met a couple of friends who were voracious readers. And it just sort of fell in with them, and it just sort of worked out. They started reading to me to begin with, and then I started reading on my own. And about 15 years ago, I started listening to audiobooks almost exclusively. Because of learning disabilities and dyslexia, I read very, very slowly still, and don't retain as much as I do if I listen to books. So, exclusive audiobook listener.
And now as a librarian, you have the opportunity to make others aware of those options.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
All right. So with introductions out of the way, then it's time for the big question. Andy, I want to start with you. What are you reading right now?
I am reading The Center. Just let me pull it up 2 seconds. By Aisha Manizar Siddiqui. And it is a interesting sort of novella-length book about a language learning center that has a sinister way of getting the information to your brain.
Ooh, okay. Now, we don't want spoilers, but is there any more detail you can offer?
That's pretty much the whole story.
Ooh, okay, yeah. Okay. I'm excited. And this is a good opportunity for me to let our listeners know that I will be putting together a list of all of the authors and titles mentioned on today's program, plus some recommendations from a few others I reached out to. You'll be able to find that with the show's recording on our website later today. All right, Taylor, what are you reading right now?
Okay, right now I'm reading Dracula. 0% of anyone who has ever met me will be surprised, but I never actually physically read the novel, and it is fantastic, and there's so much more world building and landscaping and character story, and it is fantastic. Every bit of it is just as gripping as the old Keanu Reeves movie and so on. And I'm very impressed because I'm always worried I'll be disappointed. I am absolutely not disappointed. That's the current read, and I'm glad you specified because otherwise I would have listed off like 20 books that I'm into right now.
Well, we will get into some more of those recommendations and other books because I know, you know, I asked like there was a single book, but I have a strong sense that all three of our guests today are kind of juggling a few different projects. But Mary Ann, what are you currently reading that you want to tell us about?
I am currently reading Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garmer.
Woo! Tell us about it.
Well, it was a book selected for one of our book clubs at the store, and I didn't know a whole lot about it. And I'm not a bestseller reader, but this one has been on the bestseller for a while, and I overheard some people saying how good it was, and so I decided to pick it up, and I'm really enjoying it. It's about... So far, I'm a little over halfway through. It is about how women really didn't have a lot of options back in the 50s and 60s. This one character is struggling to be a scientist and a single mother and the trials and tribulations of that.
All right. And Taylor, you got really excited when she mentioned it. Have you read that book?
Absolutely. I am super into that book. That's fantastic. It made me into an accidental feminist. It took a minute to kind of depressurize after all that.
All right. Perfect. Well, thank you all. So if you're just joining us, this is Talk of Alaska. And today we're discussing fall and winter reading recommendations, as well as the role that libraries and bookstores play in our communities. If you'd like to be a part of this conversation, recommend a book, highlight an author, talk about an old classic that you just can't stop reading, you can call us with questions and comments. In Anchorage, the number is 907-550-8422. That's 907-550-8422. Statewide, the number is 1-800-478-8255. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. Okay, we made a first pass through the question. I'm going to ask again. Anything that you're reading right now that you want to shout out to? Taylor, go.
Oh, man. Okay, so then the next one that I would say is I just finished the book Altered Carbon, and that's Richard K. Morgan. And there's also a TV show, and it's really good online with that. I like a lot of the crossover. It was a book, and now it's a movie, or it's a TV show. And Altered Carbon is a fantastic science fiction novel. I'm going to limit it to that one because I have a list in my head of like 20 that's just sliding through, and we're all going to nerd on that later. But yeah, I did just finish reading that one up a few days ago.
All right. And Andy, I saw you reacting there.
Yeah, that one's good. I liked some of the concepts a lot. The stack that they have that keeps their personality is really a cool idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And anything else that you want to shout out to right now?
Yes. I just finished a really good one for the season, which is a gothic horror tale called The Spirit Bears Its Teeth by Andrew Joseph White. And it was a really good, like, classic, go to a haunted mansion kind of style story with a lot of body horror. So if you're not interested in that, then don't read that. But if you are, it's a good one.
All right. And Halloween is just around the corner, so
yes.
Good timing there. And actually, both of you, Andy, you mentioned it first, so I'll ask you about it. Both of you mentioned to me The Murderbot Chronicles by Martha Wells.
Yes. It is one of my favorite science fiction series.
We just became best friends right there, I know.
A couple of years ago, it got recommended to me, and I listened to the first one, and I was hooked. The way I like to tell people about it, especially younger people who play video games, is if Master Chief was bored by protecting people and just watched media all day.
All right. That sounds like a very interesting concept. It's definitely one I'll have to add on the list to check out. Mary Ann, any other books that you've read recently or are currently reading that you would like to highlight?
Sure. I just want to give a shout out to All Systems Red's Murderbot number one, which I read and thought was really entertaining. Not a science fiction reader myself, so it was a good introduction to science fiction because it's a very slim volume. But my shout out would be Rebecca by Gaffney du Maurier, a nice gothic classic. And I saw the movie for the second time as well, and I always kind of like these old classics that have movies, just to have a little comparison to see how other artists might have interpreted the book. But the book is a great gothic, I wouldn't say horror, but a gothic tale about a woman who, after a week-long sort of a fling, marries a very rich man and ends up at his mansion as the lady of the house, but there's this mysterious other figure and lots of dark, shadowy spaces.
All right. We are getting lots of great recommendations for the fall here and for the sort of spooky October Halloween season. So thank you. I want to stick with you for a second, Marianne. Let's talk about some Alaskan authors. We briefly talked about this before the program, but Eowyn Ivey, a former Fireside employee, is coming out with a book soon. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. The book is called Blackwood Blue Sky, and it comes out in February. We're taking pre-orders, and she's been working on it for a few years. It's loosely a retelling of Beauty and the Beast. I have read an early draft of it, really good. It's for those of you familiar with her writing, she did The Snow Child, which was a fairy tale base, and then she did another novel, To the Bright Edge of the World, which was more of a historical fiction with a little magical realism in it. And then this third book goes back to more the style of The Snow Child, of more a fantastical novel.
All right, perfect. And it sounds like there are plans to have some sort of event at Fireside once the book is out?
Yeah, yes. We are planning to have a release party. Planning is still in the works, so we don't have the details, but definitely. As we get closer to the date, we will have more details.
All right, perfect. Well, moving back to the studio, Taylor and Andy. Taylor, let's start with you. Any Alaskan authors you'd like to recommend?
Absolutely. All of them on my shelf. You should always just wander around and kind of graze like a cow when it comes to local authors, because you just never know. sometimes it can be hard to take someone seriously when they're not like a big name, but then you find that little diamond and then you seek out more of their stuff and it turns out they're prolific. And we have a lot of Alaska authors that are absolutely prolific writers that have over 10 published works, and it's phenomenal. So, I mean, I would say just go to the, ooh, that cover looks cool, and shop based on the cover and see where it leads. I mean, either way, it's going to bring you into another little world, and sometimes that's just a nice experience.
All right. Thank you. And Andy, any Alaskan authors?
Yeah. Recently, I had a nice email from somebody who was mentioned when Mary Roach was here doing an author talk and signing at the library. And that is Susan Pope with her book Rivers and Ice, which is a really interesting story about family and family living in Alaska.
All right. Very cool. Well, I'm going to take a moment now to read a couple other Alaskan author recommendations. I reached out to some folks ahead of the show. Jenny with the Homer Bookstore recommends Spawn Till You Die, The Fin Art of Ray Troll. She writes, it's a retrospective of his work, a beautiful book, and he's such an Alaskan artist. She also recommended Uncommon Weather, Alaska Stories by Rich Chiappone, who lives in Homer. Rich is well known, she writes, for his humor and quirky characters, and we're excited about this new collection of the Alaska Literary Series. I also reached out to Karen Sobolewski, a local book rep with Storter and Sobolewski. She sent in a ton of great recommendations. I'll put the full list in that post on her website. Some highlights include Siviluk Ancestor by Lily Tzroiluk. Karen wrote that Siviluk is the best book she's read all year. Lily was actually on Talk of Alaska last year for a very similar conversation. We'll also link to that interview on her website. And finally, she recommended Last Letters from Attu by Mary Brew. The true story of Etta James, who came to Alaska in the 1930s for 1 year as a schoolteacher and nurse. She fell in love with Alaska and was on Attu Island when the Japanese invaded and became a prisoner of war in Japan during the war. Okay, with all of those Alaskan authors taken care of, I want to jump back to genres a little bit. So as I mentioned earlier, we've got some sci-fi fantasy fans in the room. Andy, what appeals to you about that genre?
I think I've just always loved the sort of taken out of this mundane world, style of story, and even magical realism has got some really interesting things that spark your imagination. Not that regular, like mundane stories, I guess I'm gonna use that word, but it's not a great word. Don't have things that can be, you know, engaging, but, I've always found fantasy and sci-fi a little bit more to my mind, at least.
All right, perfect. And Taylor, I'll turn to you in just a second, but we have our first caller. Julie is calling from Lake Minchumina. Julie, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks.
All right, perfect. Well, what did you want to talk or ask about?
I wanted to give a shout out to a very tiny local library in an extremely remote part of Alaska. We have a very dedicated library director and a bunch of volunteers who keep it running, and we also rely a lot on state funding, so it was a bit of an upheaval when that funding was delayed this year, and we're really grateful to have gotten it because our internet, it's part of our community center, and it provides, I mean, our library is part of our community center, and it provides the telephone and internet that a lot of people don't have that when we're living around the lake, and also travelers who come in to use it. And with the funding, we're able to provide this building and heat and all those services. And we have actually staged community emergencies out of this building. So it's a really multi-purpose place that we all really appreciate.
All right. Thank you, Julie, for calling in. It sounds like a really important part of the community. And, you know, that's a good opportunity. Andy, can you talk to me a little bit? You know, obviously there's more than just books at the library. What other services are offered there?
Sure. I mean, we have a lot of resources, not only programming like the author signing and book clubs, but we do, you know, we have computers and internet people can use. We also have a lot of book club bags and takeaway sets that people can use. Like we have a bunch of kits for like crafts and as well as like learning, you know, how to do taxes or creating a will, things like that. And then for youth, we also have a lot of STEM kits and things like that that they can check out. Just a lot of information databases as well people can access. We have a lot of stuff that has academic journals in it that you can read, we recently got our language system back, and
All right. And it's my understanding that the Anchorage Public Library and a lot of other libraries around the state kind of work in collaboration in a lot of ways. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. So a lot of the larger libraries in Alaska are part of the ALC, the Alaska Library Collection, and we ship books all between us all. And so you can check out a book from Fairbanks or Juneau and pick it up at in town, or we also do that with out in Wasilla or Palmer, like all of the main libraries. And in fact, like even outside of those larger systems, we have a really great program called the 800 number, which is funded from the state. And one of my coworkers, Sandy, basically connects with all the libraries that are not part of the ALC and is able to get things from the ALC to them as well. So they benefit even if they're not part of the larger system.
All right. So it sounds like if for any Alaskans listening, if there is a book you want at your library that maybe they don't have, it sounds like there's a lot of avenues to get a hold of that book.
Yes.
All right. Perfect. Well, we've got a couple minutes before our next break. So, Taylor, I want to turn back to you. Why are you a fan of science fiction and fantasy?
I love how so much of it could be absolutely plausible in the very near future. And you can extrapolate all of these different things and kind of see how that could work, like an altered carbon. You have the stacks where all of your memory, your identity, and everything is on a disc that then gets placed back into a sleeve, your body, and so on. And it's just the equivocal kind of eternal life grand scheme of the frozen heads and everything that we've heard about. And like science is going to advance all these different levels. And that's just crazy cool to make that segue and kind of maybe look into the future of different things. That's pretty rad. I like it a lot.
All right. Yeah. We were talking a little bit before the show about Andy Weir, author of The Martian, very, very near future science fiction. Great read. And we were talking about his new project, Project Hail Mary. All right. We have one more caller, and then we're going to go to our next break. And then, Marianne, we're going to talk about genres. But right now, we've got Stu calling from Muldoon in Anchorage. Stu, thank you for calling in.
Hey, I love your show. I'm writing titles down as you go.
Awesome.
the book that's captured my imagination for probably the last 3 months is Dersu the Trapper by V.K. Arseniev. It's an English translation from the Russian, and it's set between 1905 and 1930 in the far east of Siberia in an area called Usuria, which simply is what's right, and Sakhalin Island, Karafuto, the Japanese call it. But anyhow, it's a very interesting read, and I think people who love Alaska will love this book. What's really interesting is they've got way, way more cultures to deal with than what we had in Alaska with the Russians and the natives and the Europeans. They're dealing with the Koreans and the Chinese, and a variety of native cultures, and then the Russians and the White Russians and old believers and all this stuff. And it's just amazing. I look at the map trying to understand how those boundaries were decided over there, and I'm still confused, but I can't stop reading this book. I slowed down reading it because I don't want to finish it.
Eternal struggle.
It's like Robinson Crusoe. I don't want the guy to get off the island. I know. As soon as he's off the island, he's screwed. The famous Japanese movie producer Kurosawa made a movie, which is at Lusac Library. I think it's called Dersu. If you watch the movie, it's a real vague overview of the book. But a very powerful story. The book was given to me by my Russian American friend, who they're getting a bad deal now with the Putin and his antics. Russians are really good people, guys, and we need to remember that. It's to mess with the politics. But Dersu the Trapper, I mean, I learned how to catch a flying squirrel. I probably seen three of them in my life. But they talk about how the natives would catch them and then let them go. And, you know, I didn't realize that you can catch a flying squirrel if you know how to catch them. You know?
Hey, thank you, Stu, so much for your recommendation. I do have to let you go. We need to take a quick break, and then I want to get back to asking our guests a few more questions. But thank you so much for calling in with that recommendation. And we are going to take a quick break now, and we will be right back. You're listening to Talk of Alaska, and we'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. I'm Madeline Rose, and today we are talking about reading recommendations for the fall and winter and the role that libraries and bookstores play in our communities. I'm joined today by Taylor Jordan, the owner of Black Birch Books, as well as on the phone by Marianne Cockle, the owner of Fireside Books. Black Birch is located in Wasilla, Fireside located in Palmer. I'm also joined by Andy Haley, the adult services supervisor at the Lusac Library with the Anchorage Public Library. And we are talking about reading recommendations. So, Marianne, I was just about to ask you about genres, and I will in just a moment, but I want to read an email that someone sent in. Anne wrote in with a couple recommendations. She says, two good reads, Stolen Focus, about digital media and the effect on society when we are not reading for pleasure. The author makes the point how important reading is to build empathy and live and inhabit others' lives. The second read is Lula Dean's Little Library of Banned Books, which takes place in a small Georgia town when the books in Lula's library are replaced with banned books and its effect on its citizens. Thank you, Anne, for writing in with those recommendations. Okay, Marianne, you are not a science fiction. That is not your favorite genre. Tell us what is and why.
I am a pretty solid fiction reader. And I like, as my coworkers say, dark and depressing books. That seems to be what I'm drawn to.
And what makes you think you're drawn to those?
You know, I don't know. People have speculated that maybe because if you meet me in person, I'm a cheery personality. But deep down, I have darker secrets. I think that's where it stems from.
Okay, gotcha. Wow, very, very mysterious. Great. Very good sell. So, you know, for all three of you, and Andy, let's start with you. How do you encourage people to venture outside of their favorite genre?
I usually try and find things that are on the fringes or that they've liked that aren't sort of their normal. I actually run a great book club called Read What You Want, which is just everybody reads what they want. There's not a set one that everybody reads. And we just trade all of the best books and talk about what we've really loved about. And I've met some really good sci-fi lovers, but I've also made some really good sci-fi lovers. So I think it's just sort of getting really good approachable titles in that genre. I recently started reading a bunch of romances. I was not a romance reader before. There are good books in every genre, so you just got to kind of find one that fits.
All right. And Taylor, when you're encouraging someone or trying to push yourself out of your own sort of genre boundaries, what do you do?
I agree with what Andy said is I'll find a book recommendation that's kind of on the fringes of what they're used to reading and be like, oh, if you liked that, this has elements of that, but then it brings you into this other thing. I know you like sci-fi, but this is more fantastical. I as well am not a romance fan, but then all of these different books got so popular so fast. I'm like, well, I need to be able to, you know, recommend a good book for somebody. And so I need to step out of my element. And so I've read the whole Fourth Wing and The Court of Thorns and Roses and all these things that are so popular right now. And I found enjoyment of them. You know, it's not something that I seek out to read. I'm not going to prolifically, absolutely chew through the entire series. But I liked the book one. It was good. I'm happy with where it ended. And then I get to recommend different reads based on that. So I'm always open to whatever.
All right. And Marianne, any words of advice for anyone looking to push their boundaries with genres?
Sure. I think when we choose books, we do gravitate towards what's familiar. And it's a bit of an adventure to go out, you know, and clear your head and jump into a genre you're not familiar with. I think of it kind of like taking a little vacation from your usual.
All right, perfect. Well, we have a couple more callers coming in, so I want to make sure that we get to them. First up is Karen calling from Metlakatla. Was that Karen? Okay, we will hopefully get back to Karen. Let's go to our next caller then. We have Roger in Douglas. Roger. Oh, okay. It looks like we might be having an issue with some of our phone lines. We'll try to get those callers back on the line in just a little bit. But Andy, let's talk to you a little bit. It is Sign Up for a Library Card Month. Talk to me a little bit about what's been going on.
Yeah. So what we have still coming up is this week on Thursday, we have partnered with Wild Scoops here in Anchorage to create a flavor based on our patrons' recommendations. And so they sent in a lot of recommendations, and then one was chosen, which was Goodnight Gorilla. And that flavor will come out this Thursday at an event at the Midtown Wild Scoops. Yeah, and we'll have some librarians there as well with some books.
All right, perfect. And there was also sort of something similar earlier this month with Zip Kombucha, right?
Yeah, so we partnered with them a couple of times in years past. And so they had a great flavor that they created, which is a vanilla chai. And so we had that two Thursdays ago at Zip. And then last week, we had an amazing author visit from Mary Roach, who is a fantastic adult nonfiction author.
All right, perfect. So it sounds like, if anyone was curious, if the Anchorage Public Library was a kombucha, it would be vanilla chai flavored.
Yes, comforting.
All right, perfect. So I know there's also some Anchorage Public Library duct tape that folks might be able to get.
Yes, so during this month, if you sign up for a card, then you get our branded duct tape, which is blue and white.
All right.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
Very
cool.
That's amazing.
And I did check, unfortunately, if you already have a library card, you cannot get that duct tape. But it is still a great opportunity to support your local library. So, you know, in addition to September being Sign Up for a Library Card Month, obviously this week is Banned Book Week. So a quick bit of history. Banned Book Week started in 1982 in response to a sharp increase in the number of challenges to books in libraries, bookstores, and schools. I think it's safe to say that similar to 1982, advocates have noticed a significant increase in book challenges over the last few years. In Alaska, a number of those challenges have come out of the Mat-Su Borough and the Mat-Su School District. Mary Ann, back in 2020, when five books were removed from high school English courses, your store worked to get those into some folks' hands. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Oh, sure. It was during COVID. And everybody was locked down, so many people were looking for things to read. So it was a coincidence that we had a huge demand for these five banned books because, of course, as soon as you ban a book, they become bestsellers. Portugal the Man, who originated out of Wasilla, they found out that Mat-Su Borough School District had banned these five titles because it did make international news. So they decided to supply anybody in the Mat-Su Borough who wanted any of these titles, Portugal the Man decided to supply them. So they went through us and we distributed, and you didn't have to be, it started out that they wanted the students all to have access, but then we had so many books that we just made it available to everybody during that time. And we distributed hundreds and hundreds of these banned books.
All right. And so in that time since 2020, you know, there have been sort of further challenges and some books being pulled off of shelves in the Mat-Su Borough. What has been your sort of response and Fireside's involvement since then?
Oh, we, as long as the books are in print, they're accessible to us. So we try to get them on our shelves for anybody who wants the book. They can certainly come in and purchase them, find them at our bookstore. And of course, if we don't have it, the other bookstore across the valley, named Black Birch Books, will probably have them. We just want to make sure that if a book is banned, that it's not censored, that it is available
All right.
for anyone who actually wants one.
All right. Well, thank you, Marianne. We've got about 15 minutes left in the show. We've got a couple callers stacked up. All right. I believe we've got our phone lines working now, so we are going to go to Sonia, who is calling from Eagle with a book recommendation. Hello, Sonia.
Hi. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. So what do you have to recommend for us?
I'd like to recommend Mickey and Julie Collins' great books, The Crapline Twins and Riding the Wild Side of Denali, as well as Dog Driver, which is a great mushing manual. And the two earlier ones that I mentioned are just the most amazing adventure stories about how they grew up near Lake Manchumina and trapped there for many years, and they still live there. And you actually had Julie out as your first caller. And I'd also like to recommend Walking My Dog Jane by Ned Rozelle and his new book that just came out, Summer of Gravel and Steel, and a book called Fleeing the Country by Eartha Lee, and it's Rural Laughter Through the Eyes of a Child is the subtitle on that one. And all those books are great and actually written by people who have lived these wonderful experiences, like Ned Rozelle walked the pipeline twice, Mickey and Julie just had the most amazing adventures, and Eartha grew up right here in this town where I was born, here in Eagle, where we have a library.
All right. Yay. Thank you, Sonia, so much for those recommendations. We'll make sure to get them on the list. I want to keep rolling through our callers. Next up, we've got Roger in Douglas. Roger, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I learned how to read before I entered kindergarten and have been an avid reader all my life. Most of my life I've been interested in fiction, but lately I've gotten very interested in nonfiction, and I'd like to recommend several authors, Eric Larson, David Gann, Timothy Egan, David McCullough, and I just read a very interesting book called Wilmington's Lie by David Cecchino. It's a Pulitzer Prize winning book. And I spent several years the head of the Moose Pass Library. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Roger, for those recommendations. We will get those on the list as well. We've got a couple more calls coming in, but before that, we need to take a quick break, and then it'll be just straight shooting of book recommendations until the end of the program. So we will be right back. This is Talk of Alaska. We're talking about fall and winter reading recommendations, and we'll be back in just a minute. All right, welcome back to Talk of Alaska. I'm Madeline Rose, and today we are talking about cozy reading recommendations for the fall and winter, and also the role that bookstores and libraries play in our communities. My guests today are bookstore owners Marianne Cockle of Fireside Books in Palmer, Taylor Jordan, the owner of Black Birch Books in Wasilla, and Andy Haley, who is the Adult Services Supervisor at the Lusac Library with the Anchorage Public Library. And we are going through some recommendations. So we've got a few callers lined up. Before we go to our first one, I want to read one more email we got from Heather Flynn. Heather writes, I read current nonfiction, but enjoy historical fiction because I often learn about an area where I have limited knowledge. I have two favorites, The Widow Clicquot, I may have messed that up, and The Professor and the Madman, and any book by Simon Winchester. Thank you, Heather, for those recommendations. All right, so we are going to keep going to our callers. We've got Grant calling from Anchorage with an Alaska title recommendation. Grant, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, thank you. I'd like to recommend, there's a cab driver up in Fairbanks, Rob McHugh, and he wrote a novel, One River, and it's, well, yes, it's nonfiction, but there's two snippets of cab driving, but primarily it's canoe trips and hunting trips that he was on, and just how the nature is like and the foliage and the fall, and it's really good. And then a book that's, I think, underrated is A Trip to the Stars by Nicholas Christopher, and it's an aunt and her nephew, and they get separated at Grand Central Station and the adventures that they go on trying to find each other back. And I'll get off the air.
Well, thank you so much for those recommendations, Grant, and we will make sure to get those on the list. It's going to take me a while. If you're listening, you might see the show up online a little bit before this list, but we will be sure to get it up there. All right, we are going to keep going with these calls. We have Jim calling from Big Lake. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Hi. I want to recommend Sacred Instructions by Sherry Mitchell. She's a First Nation Penobscot in the state of Maine, and her book is about Native cultural values that will preserve our collective survival for future generations. And hi, Taylor. You order books for me? Thanks a lot. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Jim. I know who you are.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you, Jim, for those recommendations. And we are going to keep going with the callers. We next have Bonnie in Anchorage calling, it sounds like, to talk about book clubs. Bonnie, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just, when you were asking how did people get out of their comfort zones, I would say join a book club, because the book club that I'm in has had me read many things I would have never selected, but I'm always glad that I did read them after we finished it and had our discussion. So I would just say join a book club if you want to kind of stretch yourself a little bit.
All right. Well, thank you, Bonnie, for that call. And we have a few more calls stacking up, but I want to make sure before the end of the show that we have some time to talk about a couple other things. Taylor, you have something going on at your store coming up for Banned Book Week. What is that?
So this Thursday, the 26th, from 3 to 7, the Banned Bookmobile is going to be over at the bookstore. And that's going to be an awesome experience if everybody can just pick out whatever book they would like to take home with them. You go in one side of the bus, you come out the other, and you make your selection. You get to take that home for free.
All right, perfect. And Andy, I know September is a very busy month at the Anchorage Public Library, but it sounds like you do maybe some displays for Banned Book Week?
We do. I think we have a number of displays, both in media, so DVDs and audiobooks, and then books upstairs on the third floor.
All right, perfect. Just wanted to get that out there. Let's keep going with the calls. Next up, we have Bjorn calling from Homer. Bjorn, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if any of your guests already mentioned the book Shadows on the Koyukuk by Sidney Huntington. This is the number one book that I always recommend when people are new to Alaska to kind of give them a sense of, like, you know, this incredible, you know, the indigenous history and kind of that transition time. You know, 30s, 40s, 50s, when Alaska was kind of really, you know, going through incredible growing pains. And I think that that's just such an incredible book, full of, you know, absolute hair-raising adventures. And so I read it aloud many times with my family and have shared the book around, and then have a really cool story that in 2014, my partner and I were bicycling the Iditarod Trail, and we made it to Galena. And a friend of ours lived there, and he introduced us to Sidney. And we went and got a dime store copy at the store of the book and had Sidney sign it. And then I live here in Homer, and I was like, well, I got to get Jim Reardon, the actual author, to sign it. And our arts council was honoring him. So I came, and I didn't realize that he was fairly disabled at this point in his life. But they both, him and his wife, graciously took the book from me. And then had a way of, like, her helping him sign it. So I have this autographed copy of this, to me, one of the most important books about Alaska. And then within the year, both of them passed away. And so it just, like, you know, I got it at the right at the finish line. And it just feels so honored. It's like, you know, we have all these, like, fancy books on our shelf that are actually, you know, like, have some kind of, like, commercial value. But this is the one that is, to me, like, if the house is on fire, that's the thing I'm grabbing first.
Wow.
Anyway, I just wanted to share that and really recommend that book. It's been one of the most incredible Alaskan tales you'll ever read.
Yeah, thank you, Bjorn. That's a really touching story, and thank you for sharing your recommendation. We are going to keep going. We've got one more caller. Leonardo is calling from Nanana. Leonardo, welcome to the show.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you for having my call. First, I've been reading Anna Karenina, you know, a classic, and, you know, just really gets into some of the dysfunctions of, you know, family and life, but, you know, overcoming it through, you know, positive energy, and that's a real good lesson for today's society, and, you know, and just a great classic. And then also want to give a shout out. There's a lot of talk about Lake Winchemina. My mom, you know, she wrote a book called A Dream Called Childhood, which is a book in prose about, you know, her time growing up at Lake Winchemina, and you know, her name is Sandra Wassley, and so she's coming out with a novel soon too, so keep an eye out. And but thanks for having my call. It's, you know, I just want to mention also I learned reading, you know, I struggled, you know, in school, but what it was comic books, you know, and just getting that graphic and, you know, visualization, it makes a difference, you know. So, you know, getting people to be able to read in any way, it makes a difference in people's lives. So
yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you, Leonardo. And you know, that's a great point that, you know, we love books in all of their forms. Andy, that was actually part of what you mentioned when we were talking ahead of the show, right?
Yeah, so before I really started reading regular novels, I started reading graphic novels and comics. Yeah, that's how I sort of got into it.
As a young reader, I was also a big graphic novel and comics fan. So thank you all for those calls. We have a couple more emails and just a few minutes left in the show. So Sue wrote in. She says, A Wolf Called Romeo by Nick Yons, an Alaskan author and photographer, true story of the black wolf in Juneau. Thank you, Sue, for that email. We also have an email from Patricia. Anything by Colin McCann. Great storyteller, she says. Thanks for asking. And that was Patty in Seward. And those are sort of the emails and calls that we've got. And we've just got a few minutes left in the show. But Taylor, I did want to ask before we wrapped up, you are the only bookbinder in the state. What does that mean? Whose books are you binding?
Any book that has value to a family to pass on through generations, I'm happy to reverse engineer and rebuild it to be able to accommodate that. So right now I'm actually working on an 1871 family Bible, and I had to reverse engineer it. I'm restitching it, rebuilding the spine using the classic stitching that it once had, and then newer materials. So it's going to survive much longer as kind of a facet passing through the generations for family. Or you can bring me your whatever favorite Dungeons and Dragons cookbook, and I can put leather dragon scale and metal corner pieces and ribbons and toggles. I'm just kind of a book wizard. But most importantly, it's just sharing the love of books, and that's kind of how that all works in the end, isn't it?
All right. Yes. No, it's a show full of book lovers here. I've really enjoyed this conversation, and we are just coming up on the end of the show. Marianne, I want to just turn back to you one last time. Any other books or authors that you want to shout out to? Cool events coming up. You know, what do you want folks to hear?
Boy, there's so many authors out there that are great. I revisited Helen Hance, 84 Charing Cross Road, another slim volume that is an epistolary. You know, even within genres, there's little subgenres, and epistolary is one of those where it's the entire book is letters going back and forth. And so a book isn't necessarily, you know, one particular format. There's all sorts of things that artists do to make their books interesting. 84 Charing Cross Road happens to be a true story, so these are actual letters, but Taylor, you're reading Dracula, and that's also the literary word.
All right.
The character.
Perfect.
So, well, yeah.
Thank you so much, Marianne, and thank you to all of my guests. Andy, we are just out of time, but if you have any other recommendations, I'll grab them after we're done here. Thanks to my guests, Andy Haley, Adult Services Supervisor at the Lusac Library, Taylor Joden, owner of Black Birch Books out in Wasilla, Marianne Cockle, owner of Fireside Books in Palmer. My thanks to our producer, Annie Feit, our engineer, Chris Hyde. On the phones today, Wesley Early helped us out, and I am Madeline Rose. This has been Talk of Alaska. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Talk of Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.